This show was broadcast on Radio Maria Ireland on Friday, the 2nd of September, 2016.
I would like to begin, as always, with a prayer to Our Lady, asking her for guidance and protection for all married couples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been looking at the phenomenon whereby young Catholics and young people in general in Ireland are no longer getting married at a young age. By 2014, the average age for women to get married in Ireland was 33, and the average age for men was 35. The number of Catholic marriages is also declining, and it's declining in favour of other options, including civil marriage registrations. There are also some kinds of pagan festivals as well now for marriage. We saw in the past that the marriage rate amongst 24-year-olds would have been as high as 72%, and that it has now fallen below 10%. Today, I want to continue looking at Pope Pius XII's address of 1947. Last week, I looked in particular at his address of 1945 concerning women's duties in social and political life. And he returned to this theme in his address of 1947 in a talk titled Papal Directives for the Women of Today. I think today's generations underestimate the long-lasting effects of the Second World War. Last week, we saw that one of those effects was that there was a huge shortage of men in Europe on account of the millions of men who had been killed in the war. And this left countries with a greater number of single, never married women, and also with a great number of widows. Women were entering the general workforce at greater and greater rates, and women were also getting involved in politics and social activities, which had generally been reserved to men before this. Pope Pius XII noticed that some of these women who were entering the workforce and politics were promoting ideas in conflict with Catholic teaching. And he saw the need for Catholic women to enter the field of the political and social world in order to counterbalance these negative influences that were corrupting society and presenting dangers to the family, to the home, to morals, and particularly to women's purity. We saw that he perceived the role of these Catholic women who enter the battle for society as being to restore the family, to restore the home, to restore the dignity of women, and thus to safeguard society. In particular, it was single women and widows without children whom the Pope primarily had in mind for this task. He realized that some married women with children were forced by economic necessity to work outside of the home. And he wanted these other women who entered the political realm to create the conditions whereby this would no longer be a necessity and where mothers could return to their primary duties within the domestic sanctuary of the home. In his 1947 address, Pope Pius XII once again refers to the Second World War, and I quote, "The years of World War II and the post-war years have presented and continue to present to women in entire groups of nations, in practically all parts of the world, a tragic picture without precedent. Never, we believe, never in the course of history of humanity have events required on the part of woman so much initiative and daring, so much sense of responsibility, so much fidelity, moral strength, spirit of sacrifice and endurance of all kinds of sufferings. In a word, so much heroism. The relations, the letters in which women reveal to us what has been and still is in these cruel times, their own fate and the fate of their family, are so impressing that one questions whether this be a nightmare and asks oneself how such things can have happened in our time and in the world in which we live. In the course of these awful years, women, old and young, have been forced to practice more than manly virtues, and to practice them to a degree required of men only in extraordinary circumstances, unquote. As I said earlier, my generation, I was born in 1962, and later generations do not fully realize the great tragedy and social upheaval that was caused by the Second World War. And remember, it came after the First World War, so a huge tragedy and social upheaval. Pope Pius XII likens it to living in a nightmare. Things were so bad. And after commenting on what is being done by the Catholic Church and its institutions, he continues with the following lament. And I'm quoting again from this document of 1947. "But here is the great tragedy. Without the faith, without Christian education, deprived of the help of the Church, where can bewildered woman find the courage to face unfalteringly moral demands surpassing purely human strength? And that, under blasting assaults against the Christian foundations of marriage, of the family, of all personal and social life, by enemies who know how to exploit in poor women and young girls the anguish and destitution which are theirs, who could hope to see them always hold fast through their mere natural strength? Alas, how many have fallen! Only God knows the number of these poor waifs left to the despair after the loss of their purity, their honour." Unquote. Once again, we see that the devil does not have any compassion for fallen humanity. Even after the tragedy of the Second World War, he continues to wage spiritual warfare on the neediest of people, taking advantage of poor women left destitute by the war and causing them to fall in the area of their purity. The Pope, with great sadness, also points out that Catholics too are leading souls astray. He says, "It is a sorrow and a shame to have to mention and confess that even among Catholics, false doctrines on the dignity of woman, on marriage and the family, on conjugal fidelity and divorce, even on life and death, have stealthily infiltrated souls, and like gnawing worms have attacked the roots of the Christian family and of the Christian ideals of womanhood." Unquote. We started this current topic by looking for an answer as to why young women are putting off marriage until they're in their 30s. And I think that here we are finding the roots of this problem. False ideologies infiltrated Catholic institutions and Catholic souls, and they attacked the roots of the Christian family and the Christian ideals of womanhood. In our day, many, if not most women, would scoff at you if you told them that woman's primary vocation is to motherhood, that women were created as a helpmate to the man and for motherhood. Motherhood is now seen by many as a burden. Just this week, I came across an article where a well-known young Irish woman who has two children says, that's it, two is enough. She wants to be able to go on holidays and have nights out with her husband. We looked at recent research in Ireland which puts a price tag on raising children without looking at the inherent value of children, of each and every child created in the image and likeness of God. We hear tale of Irish men getting married to each other and eagerly anticipating having children, even though it is impossible for two men to father children. Last week we heard about an Irish woman with two sons who now claim to be women. Again, even though this is impossible. These stories get coverage in our national newspapers as if this is all perfectly normal and perfectly sane. The Irish people are being propagandized, often with foreign money, in order to corrupt our vision of what true society looks like. Nobody publicly questions the morality of medical professionals prescribing drugs to these mentally unwell and deluded poor individuals. These drugs are designed to confirm them in their delusions and false fantasies. no one publicly questions the morality of surgeons who deliberately mutilate the bodies of these same mentally unwell patients in order to help them to pretend that they belong to a gender which it is impossible for them to belong to. Surgeons and other medical professionals are allowed to behave in an immoral way in order to keep up the pretense that men can be women and women can be men. Our world has gone mad and God is mocked on a daily basis. But make no mistake about it, those who are ultimately behind these fiascos and immoral situations know perfectly well what they are doing. Our politicians have become their lackeys while serving the money god. Pope Pius XII highlighted the problem back in 1947 when he spoke of the great tragedy of lack of faith and of those who seek to infiltrate and corrupt Catholics. Today, we are witnesses to the moral decay that has been caused by these tactics of the enemies of Catholicism, and we cannot stand idly by. We must work to promote traditional Catholic family life where the mother in the home is the guardian and educator of her children in virtue, and where the man is the protector and provider for his family and his home. Pope Pius XII mentions St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he tells them to have the mind of Christ, and he asks, "What does a heart so filled, that is, so filled with Christ, have to fear?" He then tells us the answer. And again, I'm quoting from the 1947 document. Subtle illusions. It is not enough to be good, tender, generous. One must also be wise and strong. The indulgent weakness of parents blinds them to the detriment of their children. In the social order, a similar sentimentality blinds the mind and leads it to hold monstrous theories and to extol immoral and fatal practices. Is it not such false pity which claims to justify euthanasia and to remove from man purifying and meritorious suffering, not by a charitable and praiseworthy help, but by death, as if one were dealing with an irrational animal without immortality? Is it not again this misleading sentimentality which offers divorce as a remedy to unhappy wives? Is it not that deviation from a just solicitude for the victims of social injustice which, with vain and declamatory promises, snatches them from the maternal arms of the Church to throw them into the claws of an atheistic materialism, vulgar exploiter of their poverty? Unquote. We now live in a multimedia age of naked emotionalism, where the voice of rationality is drowned out by the pretentious cries of false victims who claim to be unhappy with the lot God has assigned to them. Mothers kill their unborn children at an unprecedented rate. Children help to kill their parents rather than take care of them in their old age. Selfishness and a pain-free life are used as excuses for what Pope Pius XII calls monstrous theories and immoral and fatal practices. These monstrous theories and immoral and fatal practices are all around us, and I mentioned just a few of them earlier. Men marrying men, being allowed to adopt children, men claiming they're women, women claiming they're men, abortion, divorce, euthanasia, cutting off people's parts of their body to try and pretend that you've changed their sex. This is actually impossible. Monstrous theories, immoral, fatal practices. And the Pope then speaks of the many heartrending letters he has received after the war. And he says, "That is why on many occasions, in our messages during all these years, and recently again on the 2nd of June, in our allocution to the Sacred College, we have warned, prayed, and entreated all Christians, all upright souls, and in particular, all those in public affairs, to give attention to the devastating work done during the war and after the war, toward the ruin of woman and of the family, unquote. Once again, we see that a pope gave a clear warning about what was going on. No one can say that we were never warned. However, the warnings were not heeded as they should have been, and many Catholics ignored these warnings in their pursuit of an untroubled and easygoing life. The Pope gives the solution, which is as relevant today as it was in 1947. Quote, "What must be done is to unite and to direct the living zeal of all toward the saving of the education of women and of the Christian family," unquote. It's not rocket science. If the foundation stone of society is the family, then the moral sickness of the family will cause a consequent moral sickness in society. Conversely, if the family is morally well, then the society will also become morally healthy and immorality will tend to disappear. The family is the key to solving the problems of society. The Pope elaborates on how to achieve this victory. He says, first of all, a faith proud, alert, fearless, firm and alive to truth, to the triumph of Catholic doctrine, unquote. You will notice there is no room here for so-called pastoral solutions which seek to play down the importance of Catholic doctrine. And the Pope speaks eloquently of the triumph of Catholic doctrine. He continues, the intellectual and political forces, more or less impregnated with atheism, are set to destroy Christian civilization. Facing them, we perceive the many for whom the specifically religious foundations of that Christian civilization are out of date and henceforth without objective value, but who would nevertheless preserve something of their prestige to safeguard a civic order which cannot survive without them. Lifeless or paralyzed bodies, they cannot block the subversive forces of atheism. Unquote. I have alluded to this war several times before on this program, and I have also criticized those otherwise good and well-meaning Catholics who seek to debate the atheistic forces, but without mentioning Christ or his church. Pope Pius XII calls these efforts lifeless or paralyzed bodies that cannot block the subversive forces of atheism. Catholicism and the Catholic Church are the only forces capable of defeating the atheistic onslaught that we are facing, and we leave them aside at our peril. Why else is the general pro-life movement in Ireland proving so ineffective against the abortion promoters, if not for the fact that most of the pro-life organisations refuse to publicly declare themselves for Christ? They seek to win the battle based on secular arguments rather than on the power of Christ and his church. In their private lives, they may be very Catholic, but in public debate, Christ is never mentioned. In Mexico, Our Lady chose to bring the human sacrifice of the Aztecs to an end by giving her image, Our Lady of Guadalupe, on a tilma to St. Juan Diego. In Ireland, this selfsame image, which brought human sacrifice to an end in Mexico, was blocked by some pro-life groups from being used at a pro-life rally in Dublin, because the organizers were afraid it would send out the wrong message to the media in their own battle against the human sacrifice that is abortion. They did not want their campaign to be portrayed as a religious campaign. This is spiritual suicide. Our Lady also used the religious image on the miraculous medal to bring about conversion. Our Lord promoted the religious image of his most sacred heart as one of the most powerful weapons in the battle to save souls. The Shroud of Turin contains a religious image. The Veil of Veronica contains a religious image. The crucifix, a religious image, has been used by Catholics since the earliest of times to spread the message of the gospel. And yet in Ireland, pro-life movements are blocking religious images which have been used in the past to end human sacrifice because they don't want to appear to be religious. The war we find ourselves in today is primarily a religious war, contrary to what anyone else might tell you. It is a war of belief, a war of faith, where those who believe in God and the Most Holy Trinity are pitted against those who seek to destroy that belief and faith in God, or who seek to corrupt the notion of God, as many of the false religions do. There is only one true religion, and that is the Catholic faith. And we will save society and save souls by no other means other than by promoting and defending the Catholic faith. The normal means of introducing people to the Catholic faith is within the family. Fathers and mothers passing on the gift of faith to their children. Once again, promoting traditional Catholic family life is the key to winning these battles. Pope Pius XII again. We call firm faith an absolute faith, without reservations or reticence, a faith which does not falter before the ultimate consequences of truth, which does not draw back from its most rigorous applications. Do not let yourselves be deceived like so many others. After thousands of disastrous experiences, with the empty hope of winning over the adversary by walking in his wake and taking him as your model. Unquote. When Catholics model their strategies on secular thinking and secular arguments, they are only deceiving themselves. These tactics may serve to delay the enemy at the gate, but they will never defeat the enemy. This is not to propose a purely spiritual campaign, as if all were to behave as cloistered religious. Such a campaign would entail what Pope Pius XII calls a false spirituality. It is not a case of one or the other, but of combining spirituality, prayer, and sacrifice as the foundation of apostolic, political, and social action, of being unafraid to proclaim Jesus Christ and his church in the public square, in politics, and in political campaigns. Are we Catholic or are we not? How can we promote any political agenda if we fail to mention our core belief, which is Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church? We need to realize that these are indeed religious battles that are being fought. The religion of Jesus Christ against the false religion of Satan and his minions. We must also realize the serious damage that has been done to the concept of the traditional Catholic family. And we must work to restore the dignity of motherhood, the dignity of fatherhood, the dignity of traditional Catholic family life, so that our young people will once again dream of becoming fathers and mothers at a young age in order to build and extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ here on earth through their families and to lead souls to their eternal salvation. I'm John Lacken. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.